John Dufresne is the author of 5 novels, including Louisiana Power and Light and Love Warps the Mind a Little, both New York Times Notable Books of the Year. And just in time for, shall we say, a non-traditional Christmas, No Regrets Coyote. John also has 2 books on writing and creativity, The Lie That Tells the Truth, A Guide to Writing Fiction, and Is Life Like This? A Guide to Writing Your First Novel in 6 Months. John was one of the 13 authors of the mystery novel Naked Came the Manatee. His story, The Cross-Eyed Bear, was included in Boston Noir and Best American Mystery Stories 2010. John has written a full-length play and a screenplay. He was a 2012-13 Guggenheim Fellow, and he currently teaches in the MFA program at Florida International University in Miami. Welcome, John, and thanks for stopping by the Book Report.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
A police consultant, a family and individual therapist, a man who reads minds, meaning that he reads faces and furnitures, and a man who collects Fiesta ware. Tell us more about Wiley Coyote Melville.
Well, Wiley is a therapist who's sort of living on his own. He's lost his girlfriend, lost his wife, lives with a cat, a kitten that his ex-girlfriend has given him when she moved away. And he's trying to help people tell their stories, which I think is what a therapist does. He's got a friend named Bay Lateek, who is a stage magician, a gambler, sleight-of-hand man. And the two of them get involved. Actually, Wiley first gets involved. He's got a friend, Detective Carlos O'Brien from the Eden Police Department, who calls him in because of his abilities to sort of intuit what people are thinking, calls him in on cases to consult. And he's called in as the novel opens on Christmas Eve to 5 people who've been murdered in their home. The police have a theory that they hold to, which is murder-suicide, and Wiley, who's looked around at the evidence in the house, isn't quite sure. And so he decides he wants to bring justice to the victims and family. That's kind of it. And he's, meanwhile, got his practice. His dad has got Alzheimer's, and he's trying to take care of his father. His sister is a bit of a hysteric, and he's trying to settle her down. And so,
and a chubette.
Yes, she is. And she's already had the stapling stomach operation, but it's not working. And she's still as big as ever and prone to illness. And so he's got all that sort of stuff going on in his life while he's also trying to see that justice is done.
And, of course, the book is set in Florida.
Yes.
And seems to fit pretty well into the Florida noir kind of series. Talk about that.
Well, you know, all my friends are writing crime novels in Florida, everyone I know. And I thought maybe I should try that myself. I mean, I never did, and I don't. I wondered if I'm just resisting it because it was maybe too difficult for me to do, or I don't know what it was. But I said, try it. So I tried it, and I found that I wrote it just like every other novel, but I did have this difference of those 5 bodies in the opening chapter and a crime that had to be solved. So, yeah, so I used the sort of the beauty and the, I guess, even the garishness and some of the ugliness, I guess, of South Florida sort of play in. I wanted the place to be kind of like a character in the story, and I think that happens. There's fires in the Everglades, there's bodies in canals and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, it was, so I'm part of a long tradition here, back to Charles Williford and beyond that, and trying to, you know, do the same thing, to live up to the John McDonald's and all that sort of thing.
I love that the book happens around Christmas and the family that was tragically killed were the Happy Holidays.
Yes, they were. And it actually ends at, I believe, Easter, on Easter Sunday morning. So there is that. I guess that's the Catholic in me, right?
Florida is really almost a character in the book. One of your ancillary characters, Wayne, is way out there, and I love his blog, in private and in public.
Right. Wayne has a secret life, which we learn about, and he's one of Wiley's therapy patients, and he works at Publix. And he keeps a blog, and he sometimes, discloses things he probably shouldn't on the blog and all that kind of stuff. And it's really where he lives is on the internet rather than in the real place. And the discovery of what he's up to is one of the scary parts of the book, too.
You know, would it be fair to say that the book is more about characters than the crime?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm always interested in the characters. And to me, every character who walks on stage has a story of his or her own. And I kind of like at least suggest a little bit about what the trouble in their lives might be. And so that's really why I'm writing, to get to know the people. And the crime had to be solved, but it certainly was secondary to me.
We're speaking with John Dufresne on The Book Report. Wiley's an interesting character. He's so intuitive, but yet he's very caring. He cares for a lot of people.
Yeah, he is. He's trying to take care of his dad and his sister, as I said, and taking care of his clients and his housekeeper and eventually a girlfriend and all that. And, yeah, he's a guy that in some ways... I was going to say he's selfless, not completely selfless, of course, but he even loves his cat to death. I mean, and, has conversations with the cat. He really does care about people and even the people who are no longer in his life, kind of thing that he still cares about. So he has that kind of empathy, and I think that probably what makes him a good therapist. Yeah.
He seems like a character who's crying for more stories. Is he going to come back in future books?
Well, right now, he is. I'm writing a follow-up to No Regrets, in which Bay and right after the events of No Regrets, where Bay and he have fled South Florida for, of course, Las Vegas, where Bay can play poker at the tables, and so they're out there now, and I'll see what happens, and you know, I'm writing it. I have some ideas, but they never turn out to be exactly what you have in mind, you know, once you get out there writing it. So that's it. It's going to be those guys out in the Great Basin.
Okay, speaking of other writing, tell us about your contribution to Knitting Yarns, a book by writers on knitting. How did you get looped into that?
Well, my friend Ann Hood was the editor, and she said she wanted some guys in there. And I said, all right, you know, I don't know how to knit, right? Yeah, okay. So I said, okay. And I had this idea I would begin with my mother, who did knit when I was a kid, and see what happened and sort of work at memories, and then also try to learn how to knit while I was writing it. And so I did both. So I wove, using the metaphor of knitting, kind of braiding things together as I wrote, and it was my memories, which my mother, by the way, told me were completely wrong. Everything I remembered, she said, no, that didn't happen. And I didn't knit, and you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, I remember the stuff. So anyway, I did that along with my trying to learn how to knit, which is completely unsuccessful, except for learning how to finger knit from a video on the internet. And I made one thing, a cat toy. It was going to be a scarf, but my cat was humiliated wearing it, so we made it a cat toy, and that's how that ends. So.
Okay, I have a true confession here. In my youth, I shared your inability to tie my shoelaces effectively.
I've tied them about 10 times today. It's ridiculous. I don't know what it is. I think I do it right, but every time I walk around, in fact, my wife sometimes will just say stop, and she'll tie them for me, and. I don't know. I should get Velcro shoes, I think. But anyway, just never learned. Well.
Any final thoughts on the book?
I did it. I hope people like it and will read it and get to know Wiley and the people in that book that I care so much about.
I loved Wiley, and I'm looking forward to his return.
Okay, thanks so much. That's very nice.